You may be seated. God's so good, isn't He?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Well, go ahead and turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. This morning we're going to talk about something that I've ministered on probably more than any other line that I've ministered on before, but you know, I'd get nervous if I preached on the same thing every single time if I didn't know it was what the Lord wanted for a service. You know, Brother Hagin, Pastor Michael's spiritual father, Pastor Michael in Fredonia, his spiritual father, he kind of set the body of Christ free on that notion because he taught on Mark 11, 23, and 24 probably more days than I've been alive. And, I mean, and, you know, that may be a bit of an exaggeration, but you get what I'm saying, right? That, you know, we can't be afraid to preach something over and over again because couple of reasons. One is that we know faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God, right? But also on the same token, if it's what the Holy Ghost wants for a service, that's what we need. Amen. There's no better place, there's no better thing to hear than what God wants us to hear for a service. You know, we like to have those the super exciting services, the laughing services, things like that, but the best kind of service is the one where we do exactly what the Holy Ghost asked us to do. So this morning I'm endeavoring to do that. We're going to talk about the gift of the pastor's office for us today. It's important for us to be reminded of these things, and I know that this is a place that understands what it means to honor a pastor, to have a pastor in your life, but of course, no matter how long we've been saved, there's always something more we can do to look more like Jesus than how we look right now. You know, you got up this morning, and just because you looked in the mirror yesterday morning doesn't mean you didn't look in the mirror this morning, right? Something probably changed between yesterday morning and this morning, and you had to go back to that mirror. Well, it's the same thing for us spiritually. We've got to always go back to the Word on subjects that maybe we think we know exactly what it looks like. We know exactly where everything is supposed to be, but then you get in that mirror and, oh, that's not quite how it should be. And you take care of it and make a few adjustments and go on with your day. So encourage you this morning, the Word, have faith that it'll help us, that it'll grow us today. Amen? Amen. Let's pray as we go in. Father, thank you for your Word. Thank you that it's a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Thank you for the promises in there. And Lord, we thank you for this house of God that we can come to, that we can hear the Word, that we can grow. Father, that we can be challenged and Lord, become more like Jesus, to grow in the faith. Lord, that's our desire here today. Father, as I speak this morning, I thank you for saying whatever you want said, doing whatever you want done, that this is, it's your service, Father, it's not mine. And Lord, I thank you for utterance today, for boldness to preach the gospel, in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7, says, "But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now he that ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." You know, looking in verse 7 there, we're going to focus on the pastor's office this morning, but it's also important for us to see in context what Jesus is talking about here. Every one of us is graced to do something in the body of Christ. Amen. Amen. When we get born again, there's churches that, a lot of churches that view getting born again as the be-all, end-all of their walk with God. That, okay, I'm born again now, so I'm just going to go to church and be a Christian. Well, I think they miss the whole purpose of the word born, right? A baby, when it's born, doesn't just stay like that forever. It doesn't stay in the hospital forever. It doesn't stay as a baby forever. The intention is that that baby grow up to be healthy and strong, productive member of society. It's the same thing in the body of Christ. We would think, you know, there's something maybe medically wrong with a child that's a baby and stays a baby forever. That's abnormal. Well, in the body of Christ, we've almost got a flipped mentality on it, that we view anything but, you know, we view growth almost as, oh, you want more? Instead of just biding time and, okay, I'm just going to go to church, fill the seat, do my duty, and then go home. God wants more from us. But in order to get that more from us, we've got to find out where we're graced. We've got to find out the things that maybe come naturally to us, the things that we're good at, and then see, how can I use this for God? How can I use this for the gospel? When, you know, growing up into what he wants us to be means staying more than just a baby. The things that come naturally to us are often the gracings that are on our life. You know, maybe for you, hospitality comes naturally. Hosting events, things like that, cooking for a lot of people, whatever it might be. If that's it, find a way to use that in the body of Christ. Maybe it's musically. Maybe you're talented musically. If that's how it is for you, find out how to use that in the body of Christ. That's a gracing that's on a life. You know, for me, when I got born again, I always had a fascination with computers and technology, and so I got involved with the technology part of the ministry. And how can I find what comes naturally to me, what I understand easily, how can I use this for Him, right? So find out what comes naturally to you, what comes easy to you. That's your gracing. That's what God has placed on your life. And just because it's different than what the grace that God has put on a pastor doesn't mean it's any less valuable. We all have a part to play in the body, right? A pastor, just in and of themselves, there's going to be a whole lot missing. If Pastor Mike came here by himself without anybody else every week, that's not church. The church is the body, right? It takes all of us playing a part, doing something for Him. But also, maybe I just don't know what comes naturally to me. I don't know where my gracing is. Well, step out in faith on something. Find out where there's a need and begin to fulfill that need, and the grace will come for it. I was out in California earlier this year at Pastor Nancy Dufresne's church. And, you know, they have an amazing TV ministry out there. You know, I think when she was here, shortly after that, they began raising funds for that TBN Russia, if you don't know. And so they take now these videos and they send them all over the world of her preaching. And, I mean, testimonies are flooding in of people being set free from things, learning the gospel. It's an amazing work. But so I knew when I go out there that, hey, they do this TV thing, which, of course, floats my boat. That's my mojo right there. Tell me more about how you technologicalize all your stuff in service. You know, and so I wanted to see it. And so I went up in their sound booth, in their TV booth, which their TV room is like the size of your lobby. I mean, it's just big, but they do it with excellence. And of course, it's a big part of their ministry, so they've invested in that. But I wanted to see how they do it out there, you know, with the big guns. So I get up there in the service, and of course, my mouth is watering. I'm just, this is, tell me more about that computer and what kind of RAM it's got. And maybe for you, this means absolutely nothing. But for me, that's like my boat, my sails are full, and I'm flying down the river, you know. And as she's talking to me, this woman up there, you know, I was finding out about the ministry and how it functions and things like that. And there's about 20 to 30 guys, young men, that work in the TV ministry out there. And they work on the cameras and they work in the sound booth directing, and they all take turns and everybody serves once or twice a month to do their part in the TV ministry. Much like any ministry that you guys would have out here, kind of operates the same way. But the woman in charge of it all is this little 5-foot-something, 40, 50-year-old woman that runs the whole thing. And here's all these guys. And she just points to them and tells them what to do, and they do it. And I mean, she's not messing around. I was like, okay, what do you want me to do? You know, I'm sorry, I'll do what you want. But as I talk to her more, and she's very sweet, but she has to be strong to lead that many young men, and especially California young men. There's something different out there with the sun. I don't know if it fries the brain or something, but I asked her, how'd you get started in this? How did all this come about? And she'd been a church, part of the church for years, since the 90s. She said early on, Dr. Dufresne, before he went home to be with the Lord, wanted to, you know, birth this TV ministry. He wanted to do it with excellence. He wanted to be able to record cassette tapes and DVDs and send them out all over the world and do it well. But he said, I don't have anybody that knows how to do that. So she saw a need, and she took that opportunity. She started going to night school on her own dime. She started training herself to learn how to do TV. How to flow, how to create TV systems. I mean, from scratch all the way up through directing programs. Why? Because she saw a need and she wanted to fulfill that need, and the grace came for it. You know, maybe she didn't think naturally, I know how to do this. I don't know, but she, as she started down that road, she said, I just understood everything. And it was amazing. God gave her the grace to do that. That's what this is talking about in Ephesians. So if you don't know what your gracing's for, find out where there's a need in the church and just step into it, and the grace will come. Amen. God will fulfill that every time. He's faithful to do that. And now, you know, she's made herself so valuable out there. You know, obviously, not that this is going to happen, but if the church ever came to a point where they had to maybe start cutting back on payroll, she's not going to be on the list because she's made herself valuable. She's made herself important to that ministry because she stepped into a role and the grace came to do it. Also, on the flip side, you know, maybe it's something that you know you are so gifted in. You know that God has gifted you in this arena. In a certain arena, whatever it might be, we'll continue to just nurture that, take care of that, train that up, and then wait for God to use it in a way that glorifies Him. Down in the Corey Family Church, Pastor Jeff Michener's church in Corey, Pennsylvania, you know, they went out of town this week. They went to a prayer conference out in California. And I was so blessed by this. They had, you know, their son Mark does worship for them. Their whole family does worship. It's really precious. They've got their little, you know, little Ezra up there with the little shakers, and she's shaking to the beat and all that stuff, and it's cute. But Mark kind of leads worship, and, you know, he plays guitar for it. And there was a man in the church who noticed that, you know, they don't get to take vacations together as a family because they can't all be gone at the same time and still have service, because they do the whole service. And, you know, they haven't used worship tracks and things like that, just because it never came up as a need to do that. But this man, he saw that need, so he learned guitar. He already knew how to sing. He was good musically, but he decided, you know what, I'm going to learn guitar so that I can be a blessing to the church. Doesn't mean he needs to lead worship every week, but it just meant that when that need came, he was able to fulfill that. That grace came to do that role because he had prepared himself for that. So find out where there's a need. Find out what your gracing is and nurture that. Take care of that. Hold on to that. And then just continue to build it up and build it up so that when the time comes that God needs to use it, you're ready to go. That's what gracing's for. In verse 8 here, it says, "Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive, gave gifts unto men. Now he that ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended far above all heavens, that he might fill all things." Now these scriptures, we're not going to get into the doctrinal teaching of this today, just not because of time, but this is talking about when Jesus died for us on the cross. See, so many times we think that, okay, Jesus died on the cross and then he was just in the tomb for 3 days. No, he was working for those 3 days. In order for us to be redeemed from death, hell, and the grave, Jesus had to go to hell for us in our place and conquer hell and take back the keys that the devil had stolen from Adam in the beginning. And when he did that, that was that great conquering. But that's what these scriptures are talking about there, that Jesus, he came, first he had to descend down to the lower parts of the earth. That's talking about hell. So what this is telling us, though, is the gravity of these giftings. Picture it like this. Jesus, as the battle conqueror, came in and he went down to hell and he said, no, this key to eternal life, these giftings for all humanity, these belong to me and my people. And he kicked the devil in the face and he grabbed him and he brought him back up to heaven for us. That's the price that Jesus paid to give us these giftings. So it puts a weightiness on these things. One translation or one commentary says about this, these gifts, the gifts of the fivefold ministry, as a conqueror distributes in token of his triumph the spoils of his foes as gifts among his people. So because Jesus loved us, now he had to conquer death for us, and thank God that he did. He had to redeem us from that, and thank God that he did. But it didn't stop there. It didn't end there. He didn't just give us salvation, which would have been great in and of itself. But he went a step beyond that, and he said, no, you know what? I need to give these gifts to the body of Christ. When we view the pastor's office in that light, it puts a heavier weight on it. It puts more of a reverence for it, that the same price that Jesus paid for salvation, he paid that same price, spending time in hell, conquering the devil, so that we could have these gifts that we honor, these gifts of the fivefold ministry. And it puts a gravity on it to the point that in America especially, where it's just so... what's the word? You know, it shakes you to think that people devalue their pastor so much. That where people say, we don't need a pastor. You know, if you knew the price that Jesus paid to get you a pastor, you would never have that attitude. And I'm not saying anybody here today does, but just in general, let it be a reminder to us, let it be a firming up of our faith in this area, that the price that he paid to make sure that we could have someone to look to for spiritual wisdom to answer for our souls, it was such a heavy price that he paid for us. And so we see here where when Jesus came up, he came up after he conquered death, hell, and the grave for us, the first thing that he did after giving us eternity, after giving us salvation, was instituting the gifts of the Spirit, instituting the fivefold ministry office here. So it's a heavy thing. It's a weighty thing. And, you know, it's not going to be all weighty this morning, but it is important for us to recognize that we can easily devalue these gifts, but they are so important to God. And if they're important to God, they ought to be important to us. Amen? So what we're going to talk about this morning are the five, that was the introduction, we made it through it. We're going to talk about the five ways to maximize the gift of the pastor. Five ways to maximize the gift of the pastor. I like when I get something, you know, I'm not one of those guys that doesn't read the instructions on stuff because I want to know, number one, how it works efficiently. I don't want to waste my time. But also, number two, I want to make sure I'm getting the most out of it. If I have something, a piece of, you know, for me it's technology, I want to know that everything that that thing can do, I'm doing it. Whether I need to do it or not, I want to know how to do it. Because otherwise I'm not getting the most out of it. Well, our pastors are the same way. We can get the most out of that gift. We can get the most out of what God has called them to be a supply for us. And we do that by just knowing how to maximize that. So the first step to maximizing the gift of the pastor is to receive that gift. I know, this is rocket science this morning, right? Just receiving a gift. You know what, folks, that I've never known someone at their birthday, at Christmas, and maybe there's people out there, but nobody if I've ever given a gift to has been like, oh, thanks, I guess. No, you know, especially my kids, when there's a gift coming, they get excited about it. They get eager for it because they know what's coming ahead for them. They know that there's a gift in store. And when that gift is about to be, when it's Christmas morning, I said this last night, maybe in your house, it's this great, you know, demonstration of peace and order on Christmas morning. In my house with an 8-year-old, a 5-year-old, and a 3-year-old, there is no peace. I mean, you wonder if we're even born again at that point, you know? It's wrapping paper flying everywhere. That's my toy. That's my toy. Calm down. They love each other. Just stop it. Hug. You're fine. I mean, but why? Because they want those gifts. They want to open them. They're excited about those things. That's how we ought to be about the gift of our pastor. Amen. We ought not to look at this as, oh, I have to have a pastor. No, it's, oh, I get to have a pastor. I get to, yeah, look at this. This is great. Can I, let me tell you about my pastor. Look at what my pastor does. Look at how his giftings operate. I mean, we get excited about these things because they're gifts to us. But we've got to receive those in faith, just like we had to receive salvation in faith. The Bible says that with the heart man believes unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. That's Romans 10:10. When you got born again, just knowing that Jesus died on the cross for you wasn't enough to get you saved. You had to believe it in your heart, confess it with your mouth, and believe that he was the Son of God, that he died for your sins, and that was the key to salvation. Well, just knowing that we ought to be in a church and have a pastor isn't enough to get the most out of that gift. We've got to make them our pastor in faith. Receive that gift personally in faith. And if it's a matter of saying, you know, sitting down and in your heart you believe this and saying, I believe that Pastor Mike Anderson is my pastor, that God sent him for me to be a spiritual blessing and increase to my life. If you say that, that's not weird to say anything like that. You're simply releasing faith that lines up with what's in your heart, with what the Bible says, with what God has planted you, where he's planted you in this church. So find scriptures about having spiritual authority. Find scriptures about the pastor's office, like the ones we're going to look at today, and build your faith up on that so that you can receive from it. It's an act of faith to do this, and faith always pleases God. An act of faith is always pleasing to God. Hebrews 11 tells us that. And now that you've received that gift, that gift can begin to operate in your life. Now, what do I mean by the pastor's gift operating in your life? I don't just mean coming to church and listening to Pastor Mike speak, because that's not what church is. It's not just a motivational seminar. It's not just a couple of laughs here and there and, oh yeah, I need to fix this in my life. Your church for us, when we come to hear from our man or woman of God, church for us ought to be God speaking directly to our heart, delivering things to us that only God himself could know that we need in our life. And it may not be the whole sermon. It may be one little nugget of a sermon, but that nugget came for you because you honor your pastor in that way. There's been services that I've been in where, you know, there was time I was believing for a financial miracle in our life in Fredonia, and of course I sit under Pastor Michael Oketic there. I was believing for a financial miracle. Well, you know, I'm faithful to my pastor. I, of course, honor him. I believe he's my pastor. I want to maximize that office in my life. And when he started teaching, he said, well, tonight I'm going to teach on healing. Well, I got a little discouraged at first because I thought, oh, I need a financial miracle. Now, that was the wrong attitude. We know that, right? But God was great in his mercy and love for me. He still chose, because of my honor for my pastor, I still got a nugget in that sermon that was my answer to my financial situation. Why? Because I reverence the office that my pastor walks in. I honor that office, and I believe that he's my pastor. So it's not just a matter of making someone your pastor isn't just coming to church and sitting in the chair every week. It's an act of faith in your heart to connect spiritually with the office that they walk in. Now, we have to balance this, of course, because it's important to note, especially when we talk along this line, that people know, because they start to think, oh, you're just talking about hero worship. You're just talking about, that's just a man. Well, Mike Anderson is just a man. But the pastor's office that he walks in is a tremendous gift from the Lord to help and bless the body of Christ. Now, a pastor is not our Lord, though, and we do have to balance that. Our pastor, a true pastor, and Pastor Mike's never done this, and you know that, but a true pastor will never tell us to do something that violates what our conscience says, and will never speak for us as the Lord ought to speak. The Bible says the Holy Spirit is our guide, right? Our pastors are there to show us what the Word says, to help bring light out of the Word for us, to bring revelation out in that. But a true pastor will never, you know, there's churches out there where people won't do anything. They won't. Can I go to this movie, Pastor? Can I buy this kind of bread, Pastor? They're completely and totally controlled by this person. That person's abused the gift. That's not what the pastor's office is for. That's why we have the Holy Ghost. Amen. But the pastor is to help us to get to know the Holy Ghost, is to help us to get to know the Lord so that we can know how to hear his voice on our own. And then when we begin to hear his voice on our own, the pastor will then say that he'll know what the Lord is telling us as well, and it'll always line up. I know Pastor Michael has said this before. If I go to him with something, you know, something I want direction on or things like that, he'll never tell me exactly what to do. I mean, and I love that because it would have crippled me spiritually, right? I would never have known how to hear the voice of the Holy Ghost for myself. But I could be headed for a waterfall, and Pastor Michael won't say one way or the other specifically, stop, don't do that. Why? Because I need to know the voice of God for myself. I have to, and it's not out of a diskindness to me that he wants me to fail, but it's out of, that's the heart of a pastor, is to teach someone how to know God for themselves, how to grow in the things of the Spirit. But he has told me this before, that when you come to me for something, and this is just not just me, but anybody, if I tell you to maybe take some more time and pray on that, that's a sign. That's a flag that, hey, maybe you're not quite hitting the nail on the head here. But there's been other times where I've gone to him, and he said, yep, that's the Lord, go with it. Your pastor will always confirm what's in your heart, but they ought not to take the place of the Lord in your life. And just to squash one other thought that may come our way, we will always need this gift in our life. We will always need the gift of the pastor. Verses 12 through 16 here says, these gifts are for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith, of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, under the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Perfect man. Last I checked, and nothing personal, I love you all very much, but nothing personal here, none of us are perfect, right? You know you better than I know you. Now, I know some of you may be so close to perfect, like Jeff over here. I mean, just, wow, like your demonstration of perfection blows us all away. Just kidding. I didn't roast him at all last night, so I had to get some out this morning. But last I checked, none of us are exactly like Jesus yet. None of us are perfect. And until we are, the Bible says clearly here we need these gifts. So for those that would be out there, maybe on live stream, nobody here this morning, but that would say that these gifts aren't for anymore. No, they still are, because none of us are perfect yet, and we've got clear scripture telling us that. So that first step is that we have to receive the gift. Receive it by faith. Take hold of your pastor by faith in the Spirit, recognizing that they belong to you. Now the second one is we've got to give thanks for this gift. Go ahead and turn to Luke chapter 17. Remember, these are the five ways to maximize the gift of the pastor in our life. Luke 17. This next one here, we've got to give thanks for this gift. Give thanks for our pastors. Remind the Lord that we're grateful to have a pastor. And we'll see in Scripture why we've got to do this. Luke 17 here, and in verse 11. It says, it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. When he saw them, he said to them, "Go show yourselves to the priests." And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back with a loud voice and glorified God. And he fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, "Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God save this stranger." And he said to him, "Arise, go your way, your faith has made you whole." It's so important that we study the scriptures, because if we just look through them at face value, we can miss a lot of the truth that are in there. Because at face value, this maybe confuses us and say, well, weren't they all healed? What did they mean that the tenth one got his healing just because he said thank you? We've got to understand how spiritual laws and spiritual gifts work. So when all 10 of them got healed from leprosy, and you understand what leprosy is, it's a disease that eats away at your skin, at your nerve endings, and sometimes, appendages maybe fall off. And I don't want to get graphic, but it's a very, it's a nasty, awful, awful disease. And of course, a lot of people suffered from it back then simply because of bad hygiene practices, and they didn't live in a way that glorified God whatsoever. And so here's these 10 lepers that are suffering from this disease, and you can picture maybe they've got scars over them. They're dirty. They smell horrible. They've got, maybe broken pinkies and things like that, broken fingers. And so when Jesus says they're healed, all 10 of them in that moment were healed from leprosy. That meant that at that moment that Jesus said that, leprosy stopped operating in their bodies. From that point forward, there was no more leprosy going on. There was no more, whatever disease had run its course at that point, it stopped. So anything that had, maybe fallen off or was starting to fall off, no, they were healed from that now. So it could no longer, leprosy no longer had a place in their life, which is really wonderful, right? I mean, for these people, that saved their lives. Their lives were changed because of that. But this one that went back, the Bible says something different about him. He went back to thank Jesus for healing him. And Jesus said unto him, "Arise and go your way." This is verse 19. "Your faith has made you whole." So see, there's something else that this guy tapped into because he was grateful. He tapped into wholeness. Now, what does that mean? Well, with leprosy, like I said, you've got all these things that are happening to your body. His body was fully and completely restored. Maybe his pinkies that had fallen off were grown back. His skin lesions that, patches of skin that were completely gone were smoothed over like baby's new skin. He was made whole. He got into more of what God had. God could have had that for all of them. But he got into it because he was grateful. See, we can get more out of our pastor if we give thanks to God for them. If we recognize, you always give thanks for a gift, right? We ought to anyways. When my kids get gifts, they know very clearly, you say thank you. It's a simple concept. But sometimes as believers, as grown-ups especially, we forget about the simple things in life. No, if God gave me this gift of my pastor, I'm going to give thanks to him for it. And it's a simple thing. These aren't complicated steps that we're talking about today. All we have to do is say, "Thank you, Lord, for my pastor. Thank you that you've planted me under this ministry." When you show him you're grateful for it, you've now opened that door. You've brought your faith into the mix and opened the door to get more out of that office in your life. See, when we recognize the greatness of this office, of the pastor's office, and all the ministry offices are so wonderful and needful and amazing in how they operate and work together. But of course, we're looking at the pastor's office today. But when we understand it in its fullness, like we've talked about the price that Jesus paid for it, it puts such a grandness on it that makes it so much easier than just seeing Pastor Mike and getting a nice hug on a Sunday morning. No, it's a huge deal what Jesus did to get us these gifts. Psalms 92:13, you don't have to turn there. If you can put it on the screen, Psalm 92:13 says, "Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God." You know, I used to work in a greenhouse for a couple of summers, and when I worked there, one of the things that we had to do was take these little baby plant cuttings that would come in, and you keep transplanting them into bigger and bigger soil plots until they get to a point where they can sustain roots, and then somebody buys them, takes them home, and plants them or do whatever they want with them. But to get to the point where they could become everything that we knew they could be, it took a matter of us caring for them when they were little, caring for them to be nurturing them when they were little. Now, in that greenhouse, we maybe provided the water. We provided a steady temperature for them. and we protected them from the elements on the outside, but the sun and the water is what did the growth. The sun and the water is what allowed those things to grow. See, your pastor is just like that greenhouse cover, right? That plastic greenhouse cover. Your pastor exists to keep you protected from the elements so that you can grow into who God's intended for you to be. Your pastor watches out for your soul and the spirit so that the things that maybe would come against you don't come against you, because he's taken authority at 2, 3, 4 in the morning in prayer, because the Lord warned him about an attack on one of his sheep and he took care of it before you even knew what was coming. See, those, you know, it was uncomfortable maybe in the greenhouse. I didn't like it because it was so hot and humid, and I don't do hot and humid. But it didn't matter. Those little seedlings needed to be cared for. And so we had a job to do to make that happen. Now, like I said, we didn't make them grow. The sun and the water made them grow. The Word and God and the Holy Spirit are what make us grow. But our pastors exist to keep us protected from the elements so that we can grow into who God has for us to be. See, what if those little plant cuttings had suddenly gained, you know, a consciousness for this illustration? And what if they said, you know, we don't want to be stuck in this greenhouse anymore. I don't need a greenhouse to grow. I just need the sun and the water, and I can get that for myself. And those little plant cuttings got up and they walked on their little roots out to the outside. You picture it in your head, right? You think I'm silly, but you can picture it. And they walked to the outside and they planted themselves right down in that dirt. They said, I'm going to stay here and grow for myself. I don't need a greenhouse. Well, maybe for a day or two they'd be okay. But what if the rain doesn't come like it's supposed to? Suddenly that sun's getting awfully hot and those cuttings don't have much stamina to hold up against that. Or what if we get way too much rain and not enough sun? Well, suddenly they're not getting the food and nutrition that they need, and they can't grow into anything. See, so many Christians who say, I don't need a pastor. I can do this on my own. They're subjecting themselves to elements they ought not be subjected to. And then they're taken out because of it. See, we don't hero worship this office, but when we recognize the role that it plays for us in the Spirit, it gives us such a greater honor and reverence for it. God gave us pastors because he loved us. Not because he wanted us to have to submit to someone. Not just because he wanted us to have to feel like, oh, you know, why does someone have to tell me what the Bible says? I can read it for myself. That's not God that thinks that way. God established this office as a precious gift to his people because he wanted us to grow into who we were meant to be. So don't be that cutting that tries to wander off and do it on your own, because you're going to be subjected to elements that your pastor exists to protect you from. Amen. So the first step, we've got to receive the gift. The second one, we have to give thanks for it. Now, this third one here, we have to guard this gift. I told you earlier about Christmas in our house. It's usually pretty much a free-for-all, right? That once, you know, and kids, I love them. See, if it were me, we would have a nice, wonderful, orderly little Christmas celebration. Okay, Katie, go ahead and open your present. Tell us about what you got. That's beautiful. Joshua, your turn. Please open. That doesn't fly with little kids. They want to get their hands on what's next. Well, you know, when they open a present and suddenly now their previous present's laying on the floor, now the other two come in like vultures. What'd you get? What is that? Oh, that's pretty cool. I'm just going to put this over here in my pile. And they take it because that person, maybe the first, no, my kids aren't devilish, but they're kids. You understand, right? But maybe he didn't put enough value on that to hold it close to him, to keep it tight. Now something came and snatched that away from him. See, that's how the devil, and I probably shouldn't use my kids for an illustration of the devil, but it works in this one. That's how the devil operates with the gift of our pastor. Now see, the devil probably knows better than anybody in this room how important that relationship is with us and our pastor. And he knows that if he can separate that, he can pull us out of the will of God. He can pull us out of that safety and protection. Zechariah 13:7, you don't have to turn there. Zechariah 13:7 says, "Smite the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered." See, there's two relationships in our life that the devil will attack more than any other relationship. It's the relationship with our spouse and the relationship with our pastor. And we've got to keep our guard up against those things. Not that we live in fear of him, but recognizing how he operates is a key to having victory in any situation. He'll attack our relationship with our spouse because if he can get us into a place where we don't have peace in our home, we can't have faith in our home. See, Jesus doesn't walk in homes that have strife and division. Jesus doesn't come into homes where the husband and wife are constantly fighting and narking at each other and going at each other. Jesus comes into homes where there's peace, where there's a flow of peace, where there's people who don't let the sun go down on their anger where there's people who want to make Jesus the Lord of their life and the center of their marriage, and not their own, you know, fleshly carnal desires as the center of their marriage. But if the devil can separate that, then he knows, if I can get between them and their spouse, because the devil knows he's not going to separate you from Jesus. Just, you know, your faith in God is too great. But he can easily plant a thought. Well, did you see how they looked at you? You know, they didn't do that the way you asked them to. Did you hear how she said that? Did you hear the attitude in that? When those thoughts start to come against your spouse, Pastor Michael has said this, by the unction of the Holy Ghost, any thought that ever comes against your spouse is a thought from the enemy. And I mean, it's not rocket science to us to know that, but it is a truth that we ought to be reminded of, that if a thought comes, we don't even have to start wondering, well, does this line up with the Word? No. If it's an accusing thought against my spouse, it's not God. End of story. God is not seeking to put division through my most important relationship in my life. That's not how God operates. Praise the Lord. So that's one link that the devil will try and separate. The other one here is if he can separate you from your pastor. Why? Because he knows that that's where your help is. He knows that that's where your spiritual protection is, where your spiritual supply is. So we've got to keep the guard up against that. I've talked to so many folks who are starting to go through storms in life. They're going through things. And the first sign, and it's so unfortunate, I wish people would just come and talk, right? Before, if you're going through something, that's what your pastor's there for. Don't feel like you have to go through it on your own to prove something to anybody. No, that's why pastors exist, to help us through things. But so many times, people wait until it's too far, till they're too far gone, till they've camped in those thoughts for too long, and now they're conditioned to thinking and acting a certain way, and now it's so much harder to get back. When those first thoughts first start coming, that's the time to take action against it. When you maybe feel the symptoms of a cold, you don't wait until you're in bed, at least we shouldn't wait, until we're in bed with the full flu to start using our faith, right? No, you get the tickle, that's the time you take care of it. So when you start getting that tickling thought against your pastor, that's the time to take care of it. And I've talked to people that, you know, I start to notice that their attendance in church starts dwindling. And not that I want them to come to church because I know they can be helped, but I don't do it from a place of trying to control them to be in church, be in church, be in church, but I know it's where their help's at. I know that's where their answer is. And I've talked to these folks, and they say, well, you know, I haven't been in church because I was going through stuff, and I didn't think that, you know, Pastor Michael cared about it or anything. Pastor Michael had no clue you were going through it. The devil told you Pastor Michael didn't care about it. He didn't know what you were going through. Why? You never said anything. So don't take any thought that comes against your pastor is going to separate you from the things of God. Every time. Every time. You know, if we could picture it like this. Ephesians 4 talks about us. Thanks, Jeff. I would have been okay, but thank you. I appreciate it. He's a good guy, isn't he? I'm playing with my pick up here. Pastor Mike's pick. I'll leave it here when I leave. I promise I'm not going to steal his pick. Ephesians 4 talks about being tossed to and fro on the ocean, right? Tossed to and fro by waves. Picture this for a second, that you're out there on the sea. And maybe it's calm waters, right? It's easy swimming. Things are fine. You can handle it. You got this. You know how to swim. And it's beautiful water. Nice. We'll even put you in the Caribbean, all right? Beautiful, clear water, sunny sky above you. I mean, you're just having a great old time out there in the ocean. And here comes this boat. Now, how many of you know humans don't belong in the ocean, right? I mean, I know this may be a concept. We can spend a little bit of time there, but we ought not to live in the ocean. We can't live in the ocean. It's not going to last too long. So here comes this boat, and we'll call the boat the body of Christ, all right? And on this boat, you've got a room set for you. You've got a place made for you. You've got a role to fill on that boat and a thing to do on that boat. And that boat is made to withstand all the waves of the sea, all the storms that it could go through. It's not going to be shaken. It's not going to sink. It's not going down. There's a place for you on that boat. Here comes this boat, and it sees you out there in the water. And so it throws that life ring to you. Well, that life ring, if we could picture it like this, is your pastor, right? And that pastor is meant to help bring you in to your place in the body of Christ. Now, in that moment, it's easy swimming. So you maybe think, well, I'm okay. I got this. Thank you, though. Appreciate it. I know how to swim. I'm doing just fine on my own. And so there goes the ship, passing you by. Well, suddenly, a storm comes up, and the waves start rolling. And maybe you could swim just fine in calm water for a little bit, but now that we've got these big old 20-foot waves slamming down on you, you're going under, and you're going under quick. But what happened when the help was there, we didn't take it because it seemed easy, right? There's a place for us in the body of Christ. God's called all of us to do a certain thing. He's graced us and gifted us to do something. And our pastor is meant to help bring us into that. But let's never be fooled by the enemy into thinking that we don't need him to help us get there. That's why we have these offices, to help us fulfill what God has called us to do. Amen. We've got to guard that relationship. Now these last two, time's almost up here, so we'll go through these last two pretty quick. We know the first one is we've got to receive the gift. The second one, we've got to give thanks for the gift. The third one, we've got to guard that relationship with that gift of the pastor. And the fourth thing we're going to talk about is that we have to pray for our pastors. Pray for that gift. And we're not going to camp long on this because I know I shared on this not too long ago here. But it's important for us just to be reminded of it. If you can put on the screen 2 Thessalonians 3, 1 and 2. You know, we know that James 5:16 says that the prayers of a righteous man make tremendous power available. We know that it takes power to operate in this office of the pastor. The Phillips translation of Ephesians 4 says, God gave some men the power to guide and teach his people. Well, when it takes power to do something, somebody's got to be generating that power, right? Somebody came in here this morning and flipped the lights on, but somebody somewhere is making power so that we can do that. And I don't quite know how all of it works, but I'm sure grateful for it. I mean, because we need electricity, right? We're not living on the prairie no more. My kids have been watching Little House on the Prairie. That's a really great show, by the way. I enjoy that. But they've been watching that lately, and I'm thinking, man, I'm so glad I'm not that Little House on the Prairie. And then I go and take my nice warm shower and get on my computer and my electricity and everything. You know, it's, whew. But all that to say that someone has to generate the power that this office takes to walk in. And it takes power to walk in it. And so 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 1, 2 Thessalonians 3, 1. Paul is saying, finally, brethren, pray for us, that the word of the Lord would have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you, verse 2, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. So the Apostle Paul, so many times, he asked people to pray for them, to pray for their ministry. Why? He knew the truth of what it meant to make power available. He knew the truth of what it meant to have this power ready and available for when our pastors need it, for when these ministry offices need it. And so this is how we do it. We don't have to reinvent the wheel. We don't have to make it difficult. We just do what the Bible says. Go put verse 1 back up, please. Finally, Lord, we pray that the word of the Lord would have free course in Pastor Mike's ministry, that it would be glorified, even as it is with you. Verse 2, Father, thank you that he is delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. See how easy that is? That's all it takes. When we say praying for our pastors, we're not talking, you know, a two-hour-long prayer session storming down the gates of heaven. Just lift him up. Remember your pastors in prayer. Lift them up. And God will reward us for this. The Bible says that what you pray for in secret, God will reward you openly for. I guarantee that as you make yourself a power supply to your pastor, the Lord will make it up to you. The Lord will make it up to us. Praise the Lord. Now, there's other scriptures. Just to take note of these, if you're taking notes, Ephesians chapter 1, Ephesians chapter 3, Romans 8:26. Ephesians 1 talks about praying for our pastors and for those, for anyone really, but in this specific instance, we're talking about our pastors, praying for them so that they can have wisdom and revelation in the Spirit of God, that they know what the will of God is for their life, but also for this ministry. You want your pastor to know the will of God for this ministry. Amen. You see out in Allegheny there, you want him to know that that's the building that he's supposed to buy. You want him to know that he knows that he knows. Why? Because it's an act of faith to do it. Amen. And then Ephesians chapter 3 talks about having the courage and the strength to do the things that you know you're called to do. It takes strength to buy a building that size with 20 people in a congregation. It takes strength of faith. It takes character to do that. But your pastor has that. Why? Because people have been praying for him. And people can pray even more than that for him. Romans 8:26 talks about how the Spirit makes intercessions for us when we pray in other tongues. See, God knows everything your pastor needs. You may know the general direction for the ministry and things that your pastor has said to hook up on, but you don't know maybe what he's going through. You don't know the things that he's believing for that he hasn't shared with anyone yet. But God knows. So when we pray in other tongues for our pastors, God will make those intercessions and help be a supply to our pastors in that way. Being praying for our gift is a key to maximizing it. And this last one here that we'll talk about is we must honor the gift of our pastors. And of course, everything this morning is talking about honoring that gift and having honor for it. But specifically, there's some things we got to see. We're not going to turn there just for the sake of time, but in Mark 6 talks about when Jesus went into his hometown. And he couldn't, the Bible says that he could there do no mighty work. He couldn't do any miracles. He couldn't do anything supernatural. And there was a reason for it. That reason was dishonor. People saw him as just Jesus, the son of Joseph and the son of Mary. They didn't see him as Jesus, the Son of God. See, when we come to church, if we just see Mike Anderson, Mike Anderson's a great man. I love him. He's awesome. But he's not my spiritual help. Pastor Mike Anderson is where the spiritual supply is at. And there's a reason that throughout the body of Christ, there's this perversion of the name of the word pastor, because people get so worked up over that. The reason being, the devil knows that if he can take out honor for that single word, he can take out their help. He can take out their supply. If he can make people think, you know, you go into churches where, oh, we don't use titles here. I'm just Scott. Well, listen, I love you, and I'm not trying to float myself up high or anything like that, but Scott doesn't have anything to offer. I know who Scott is. I know what Scott brings to the table, all right? Maybe he can fix your iPhone, but that's about all he's got. Scott can't preach the gospel. Scott can't deliver a message from the Holy Ghost. That's the pastor's office. Same thing with Mike Anderson. Maybe Mike Anderson's a great hunter who loves sports, and so much more than that, but you know, we'll just boil it down for this illustration. But Pastor Mike Anderson is the one that God created, that God sent to you specifically to be a spiritual help and a supply in your life. And it's as simple as just saying pastor before their name makes such a difference. You think something that little? Yeah, and I've seen it. I've seen folks who've been in the Fredonia Church for longer, I mean, less time than I've been alive, but definitely way before I got involved there, that are in, you know, they're in their middle age. And I've seen them, and to this day, they still say Mike and Nancy. Or maybe Michael. Maybe we'll trim it up to Michael, but Michael and Nancy. You know what's amazing is how they don't have a supernatural life. There's nothing about their life where I see, is God doing anything for you? Not from a place of judgment, but it's important for us to see these things and to learn from how things operate, that if you would just say pastor, your life would never be the same. If you would just insert that word there, you've now switched it from just hearing a great Sunday encouraging speech to hearing from heaven. Heaven can help us. Speeches are great, but heaven can change our life. That's where we want honor from. And so when we call them by their titles, this is how we honor them. We call them by their titles. We do the things that they teach us. Be doers of the word. Amen. Purpose that, you know what, when I go to church, I'm going to do just at least one thing that's been taught that day. I'm going to tweak one thing in my life to make it line up more with the word. That's how we honor that gift. It shows God that we receive from it, right? We serve in the church, and I know you all know this. It's a faithful crew here this morning. And the other part is that we bless them. We bless them financially. And I hit pretty hard on that last night in Allegheny. I don't have it as strong on my heart this morning, but all throughout Scripture, there's so many examples of what happened to people when they would financially hook up with the people that they were called to with their spiritual supply in their life. And when I say financially hook up, just so that it's all out on the table there, I mean bless them with money. You know, you say, that's not how it works. It is for God. The Bible is so clear about the things of honor. God said, they that honor me, I will honor. James 4:8 says, draw near to me and I will draw near to you. Matthew 6, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things shall be added unto you. Galatians 6, sow whichever you sow that, you shall reap. It's a guarantee that when we start to operate in finances and the things of God, it opens the windows of heaven to us for God to be able to bless us so much more. There was a woman in the Old Testament. You can close your Bibles. I'll close with this. This is in 2 Kings. There was a woman who, there was a man, a prophet, who would walk by her house to go and do his ministry work. He would walk by her house. And she saw, you know, he could use some more rest than what he has. He's always going. He's got to go back here to maybe to his house, and then he's got to go back to this place. And such a long journey. He's not rested right. I want to do something about that. So that woman built a $40,000 addition onto her house. And that's in our money today, you understand. I mean, that's not what they said, but you equate it to today's money. It was $30,000 to $40,000 she put into her own home just so that he could have a room with a bed and a table so that he could spend time to rest and do the work of God. And God honored that. God gave this barren woman, she couldn't have children, he gave her a child. And then later on in life, that child died, and God raised that child from the dead. And we don't purchase those things from God, but there is a law there. That's the law of honor, that when we honor our pastors, when we hook up with that gift, that's how we maximize our life as believers. Amen? So these are the five keys. The first one, recognizing that they're gifts to us, receiving them in faith. Second one is giving thanks to them, for them. Third one is guarding that relationship. The fourth one is praying for our pastors. And then the fifth is having honor and reverence for the office that they walk in for us. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that it's a help to us. And Lord, this morning, you know, maybe we weren't running and jumping and shouting, Father, but we thank you that you helped us today, that you grew us today as believers, that, Lord, our faith was strengthened and restored. And Lord, we know the magnitude of this office, the pastor's office. Father, we don't worship Pastor Mike, but we do give thanks for him. We thank you, Lord, that he's a blessing to us. And we thank you that you've called him to this area. And Father, we thank you that lives that are here, people that you've called under him and his ministry, that their lives will never be the same as they continue to submit their lives to the will of God for their life, to submit their life spiritually to a pastor. Hallelujah. With eyes closed and heads bowed, I want to give an invitation here this morning. I think I know everybody here, and I think everybody's born again, but just to give an opportunity, I would hate to leave a service and maybe not do it. But if you're here, you know, we talked about the gift of the pastor, but that's to grow you after you've been born again. But first you have to be born again. You have to make Jesus the Lord of your life. So if you're here this morning and you need to be born again, what does that mean? That just means accepting that Jesus died on a cross for you, that he rose from the dead so that you could be saved, and you've made him Lord of your life. That's all it is. If that's you, you need to be born again today. I invite you to raise your hand. Hallelujah. Didn't think I'd see any hands, but I want to give a second invitation. If you're here this morning and you need to rededicate your life today, that means maybe you've stepped away from the things of God, stepped away from God's plan for your life. If you're here and you need to rededicate, run home to him this morning, go ahead and raise your hand now. I'm the only one looking around. Praise the Lord. Well, I don't see any hands, and I didn't think I would, but Father, it's our prayer this morning that everyone here walks right with you. Father, that they walk in the fullness of your will for their life. Lord, we thank you for your word, that it helps us, that it challenges us, that our faith is grown this morning. We give honor and thanks to you, and we thank you for Pastor Mike and for Pastor Courtney for a wonderful, restful week for them, that they come back next week rejuvenated, refreshed, ready to go with whatever you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Well, isn't the word good?
Amen.
Amen. It's our help. Well, now, kids, and I'm sorry, it's just for kids, all you grown-ups that want it, you can't come along, I'm sorry. But kids, if you took notes today, go ahead and bring them up. We got this special little prize for you here. Look at you. Oh my goodness. Awesome. That's great. Well, there you go. Beautiful. Great job. Those look awesome. You did. Two pages? Wow. Okay, go ahead and grab one. How about you? Awesome. You've even got them little... That's more organized than I take notes. Wow. There you go. What do you have, sweetie? My goodness, that's a beautiful little picture. Is that your family? That's you? Oh, that's awesome. There you go, sweetie. There's a pink one in there. You like that? How about you? I like your ears.
Thank you.
Jesus. That's awesome. Nice job. There you go. Jeff, did you draw a picture of Jesus? Oh, is that a cross? That's beautiful, honey. There you go. Praise the Lord. Why don't you give them a round of applause? Great job, kids. All right. Now I understand we've got some fellowship in the old sanctuary, right? Why don't we bless the food before we go? Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for this church. Thank you for blessing this time of fellowship. We call the food over there blessed to our bodies and nourishment. Thank you for taking all sickness from our midst. And we thank you, Lord, for blessing every hand that prepared it. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. You are dismissed. We'll see you Wednesday.